Hey everyone, and welcome to But That's Just My Opinion, the podcast hosted by me, Matt Lantrip, where I interview people about any opinion they have on any topic of their choice. Hope everyone had a happy Thanksgiving. I know I did. It's great to have family in town. Great to see everyone, hang out with people for 4 days, be off work for a while after the craziness that I had gone through the couple weeks prior. Very thankful for the time off to rest and recuperate. But we're back. We're going to have a month full of podcasts. On today's episode, we have a special guest, in my opinion. His name's Kyle Clark. He does a podcast called This Is Rad that I listen to on a weekly basis. One of my favorite podcasts out there. You should definitely go check it out. He pretty much just interviews his friends. He has two co-hosts, his girlfriend Natalie and his good friend Matt Burnside. And they just interview local comedians and friends of theirs about things that they're enthusiastic about and things that they're interested in. And it's a very positive podcast. They don't really try to talk down on anything. They just want to, you know, talk. They want to talk about the good things in whatever someone likes. It's not about sitting there and be like, oh, well, this is stupid and, you know, a review show or anything like that. It's literally just, what do you like about this? And let's talk about it. And it's awesome. And I love listening to it. Always keeps me in a happy mood, positive mood, and it just shows you there is good in the world. And so I was very excited to have him come on and chat with me. Been trying to get him on for a little bit, but he's a very busy man. So when it came to a topic, it was kind of something I wanted to talk about, and it's a culture of superlatives, meaning everyone's always like, oh, this is the best, or this is the worst, and there's no middle ground. And there are people that have come on his show where I'm like, oh, wait, why can't there just be a middle ground on something? Why does this something always have to be the best? And you hear us start off talking about a discussion him and one of his co-hosts had about something not being having to be the best. And we just go from there. You definitely get like a good solid half hour of us talking on subject, and then it divulges for about 30 to 40 minutes of us kind of staying on topic, but really just talking about a bunch of the music we like. But we talk about how we like certain things and don't like others, and not everything from one band has to be the best. So it ties in, we just don't directly say it, but the way we talk is kind of, essentially it's like we unintentionally went into the way we think. I mean, not unintentionally, because that's just the way we think, but we started a conversation about, you know, oh, these are things I like, but these are also some of the things I don't like about that stuff, and not having to say everything's the best. It's kind of just how we like having conversations and how we like to think and how we think people should think and the way we talk about our music and movies and different things, where not everything has to be the best. And that, so you hear us describing why things shouldn't be, and then essentially getting to hear us discuss in a normal manner things that we think are good and bad, all within the same area of music, really. So it was great to have him on. It was great to meet him. Really hoping to get him on again. I'm sure I'll be able to. Probably, hopefully within the next year. We'll see. Maybe every time he has a break, I can get him. So I hope you guys enjoy the episode this week, and let's get into it with Kyle Clark. School for audio, like recording and trying to do like post sound and stuff like that. So I still kind of dabble in it. And then the nice thing is the podcast lets me kind of
keeps you in that world.
Yeah. I get to stay using Pro Tools. I get to keep all my mics and everything.
Is that what you edit in?
Yeah. Pro Tools.
Okay, cool. Cool.
Yeah. The only bad part about Pro Tools is when I mix everything down, it has to go in real time.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. My brother is a sound engineer, and he does, he bounces back and forth between Cubase and Pro Tools for stuff. I think he ends up doing a lot of like session work in Cubase and then bounce stuff over to Pro Tools for mixing and stuff like that.
Gotcha.
And it's, I've made the joke many a time that there's, cause I kind of learned to do it just through trying to record my bands back in the day when I was doing music. And then when I came into Nerd Melt and stuff like that, that like I knew how to run a PA, cause I had set up a million PAs for like house shows back in the day and stuff like that. And that there's a, you'll never, starve to death if you know how to turn microphones on.
Yeah, definitely. I get hit by a lot of people like, hey, you still doing sound work?
Yeah.
It's like, unfortunately, I don't have the time anymore because I'm working, you know, 50 to 60 hours a week.
Yeah.
But if I wasn't, this definitely, you know, wasn't doing all that stuff.
It's always the good emergency system.
Yeah. If I wasn't working nights, I'd probably be moonlighting somewhere doing some form of live mic running. And
yeah, Natalie, my girlfriend and the producer of the This Is Rad podcast that I do, has only recently, like, she left one job and she was between two jobs, and all of a sudden she was like, God, I don't know what I'm going to do. And I was like, do sound. You know how to do it. And all of a sudden she, like, threw out, hey, does anybody need sound work? And, like, she had, like, a week's worth of work. And she was like, wow.
Yeah, I mean, good sound is so hard to come by.
Yeah, most definitely.
Yeah, I mean, so many of my friends were like, oh, we need you for this. Well, and
it's so hard to explain to somebody that, like, simplicity is key. Like, and that's so
sorry,
much
I'm just
of it.
Adjust it a little bit. every single person I have over, they're just like, okay. I'm like, just stay still, and I'll adjust it to where you're comfortable.
I bob and weave, so yeah. this is just gonna be your help next hour.
If you feel like holding it, go.
I'll get there.
Yeah.
but yeah, but as far as, like, getting those things, like, but you have, like, the perfect, like, simple setup. Like, I know yes. so many people who, like, want to add bells and whistles and do extra stuff. I'm like, stop it.
No.
You're just making life harder on yourself.
Yeah. I mean, I have a couple mixers. I have one directly
yeah.
that plugs into a computer. I have one for that can record to this, and, you know, that I've used out in the field and everything. But
have you fudged with the H6 at all?
I haven't.
Oh, it's the jam.
Yeah.
Oh, it's the I sometimes just literally will hold it and look at it and go, I can't believe you exist. Because, like, I remember, like, my family actually has built a recording studio in our garage many, many years ago, because my dad plays and my brother plays. And so mostly it was to get a soundproof for a rehearsal space for everybody. But it's been sort of moved into full studio stuff over the years. But we've had a bunch of different setups. And so, like, at one point, it was literally one of those, did you ever use the CD burners, like the real-time
yeah,
CD
yeah.
burners? We had those for a while. We had a DAT tape recorder. And then we had a studio in the box forever. And that was the thing I kind of learned audio on, and I have never hated a machine more, because it was like a console full setup all in one thing with, like, automated faders, but it was like just the technology was just not quite there enough that it felt top of the line, but it was still, like, just shitty and not user friendly enough. I'm sorry, yeah. I said shitty. I don't know.
Oh, no,
right,
you're
now.
Fine.
But, like, by the way, that's, like, just podcasting. And you're like, can you swear on this?
Yeah,
I'm waiting for the podcast where it's like, no.
My rule is.
At all.
Nope. Just go home. We're done. We're done here. My rule is, I don't do it because my mom listens and then she doesn't want to hear me cussing. But anyone else, I'm not going to censor anyone because, you know, I want everyone to just feel
gotcha.
Open and.
Well,
yeah.
I'm sorry to your mom.
She loves it every time I mention that. She's like, I just love getting mentioned on the show. Like a total mom thing. So, yeah. Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening. Today, I got my guest, Kyle Clark.
Hello.
He is the host of one of my favorite podcasts out there called
shucks.
This Is Rad. I got into it through Nerdist, obviously, and I've actually kind of stopped listening to Nerdist since and just listened to you guys.
Woo-hoo, a win.
Take that, your boss.
Take that, all the rich people who work at Nerdist.
Yeah, they're still winning.
Yeah, they're doing fine. This is
it's okay
for me. It's a personal victory, but it is not a mighty blow for the mighty empire.
You know, the thing owned by Legendary.
Or excuse me, I have to go cash my producer's check.
Yeah, pretty much. So yeah, I've been trying to get him on for a while. Finally, had some free time and. This is probably my biggest guest to date, I'd say, because
we must help you.
Yes.
I saw you had Rivers on. That's a pretty good guest.
Yeah, I had Rivers on pretty early because I started listening to goods from you guys. And then from there, it's just pretty much the whole thing has just been people I know.
But that's the way to do it in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I mean, but the thing is, I'm not a comedian or do anything, so I don't have, like, this vast network of people. I just have my friends group.
I definitely take for granted that when I'm like, I just get my friends, that it's all comedians working in Los Angeles. I'm like, well, it's an unfair advantage, but,
yeah,
but they're all still also as not famous as I am.
Oh, yeah, no.
Actually, some of my favorite episodes are ones where I've made people from my, like, personal life. I've had my mom. I've actually had my entire family on at this point.
I remember that birthday episode.
My mom, my dad, and my brother on, and my dog has made appearances barking at us. But then, like, I've had, like, some of my brother's friends from growing up. I've had some of my friends from growing up. Like, those are some of my favorite because it's a different point of view. Like,
yeah.
You get that perspective of someone who's not, like, oh, I remember when I was at that open mic or going to that audition. You get, like, a real person who's like, oh, I've had experience. I have, like, a family and people who love me. And I'm not just narcissistically chasing,
yeah.
like, you know, people loving me. People will just love me without conditions.
I'm just a 24-year-old married guy trying to make his way in the film business.
It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, it's great. So yeah, today we're going to be talking about something that I've always kind of wanted to talk to Kyle about. I brought this up to him. His podcast.
And then when I didn't have to pick a topic, I was thrilled. Because I immediately panicked. Like, oh, no.
Yeah, especially because it was on such short notice.
I'm just
I was trying
to do book reports. I'm looking through things. I'm looking through your feed. Like, what have they done? Ah!
Yeah, and most of the titles are a little misleading. Try to make it creative. So, yeah, something his podcast is all about, just a love of things. Just coming out, saying what you like, and being proud of that.
Being enthusiastic.
Yeah. And something I've always kind of noticed is people nowadays are over-enthusiastic.
Yeah.
And you are probably one of the only people I listen to where it's everything's not... Things can be okay.
Yeah, things can be fine. It's my favorite term in the world. It's fine.
Exactly. And I think it was especially when you guys were talking about Stranger Things.
I knew this is where we were going.
Yeah.
Because I've now just named it the Stranger Things phenomenon.
It really is, though. It totally
is. Where people see a thing and then just lose their goddamn minds. And then in a month and a half, they'll be like, what was that thing that I said was the second coming of the Lord? Yeah, oh, it was Yogi Bear 3D? Oh, man, remember we were all real into that?
Well, TJ Miller is having a good success since then, so it makes sense why we all loved it. I mean, like, I watched it, and I was like, oh, this is great.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, this show was nothing without its soundtrack.
So we are, 8 minutes in, and I will already derail you with a sidebar. So
don't worry. No, I edit this thing down, so don't even worry.
I actually just found a kind of great... We're all Thanksgiving depth for This Is Rads for a Minute, so I'm having to sit on this. So, like, this works because I can release the valve a little bit. Because my continued fascination with Stranger Things, because I watched it and like you, like, finished and was like, this was fine. Like, I don't hate it. I don't love it. Like, it's just, it was a perfectly cromulent piece of entertainment. And, like, and for anybody who does not know my podcast, me and my co-host had a fairly heated discussion. Where at the end of the day, both of us liked this thing, but like my co-host said a sentence that set me off, which was they should start studying Stranger Things in film school, and I almost threw a chair at him.
And it totally makes sense because it's like, yeah, that show was good. You know, I enjoyed it. I thoroughly liked it. I've been telling my wife, if you get a chance, check it out. It's nothing to rush out to. But pretty much you just look at it, you're like, oh, the reason we all like this is because it's a throwback to it's Steven Spielberg.
Sure. And it feels familiar to things that you haven't watched in a while. And this way you don't have to go and watch something that's old. You can be like, well, this new thing.
Yeah.
I can enjoy this. And it reminds me of a thing that feels familiar.
Yeah.
It's like a cover song.
I like that.
The thing that was interesting to me is I had my first chunk of days like off in like a very long time. I do like a 6 day a week work week right now, and oh, poor me, I'm employed in America. And so I forced myself to like just do something mindless and dumb. And I ended up watching all six episodes of the first half of Channel Zero, which is on the Sci-Fi Channel.
Okay.
And I had heard – I'm a big fan of the Shockwaves podcast. I don't know if you're familiar with them. It's a horror podcast. I'm a bit of a horror obsessive. I would say that I eat, sleep, and breathe music, but it's kind of fallen because at a certain point Alexander wept because there were no places left to conquer. And have kind of like – I've always been obsessed with horror, but it's definitely like ratcheted up in the last few years. I think surrounded by comedy, all I want is like pain and dismemberment, like so when I'm not around clown people all day. But,
well, the clowns are usually serving the pain and dismemberment.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. Well done, sir. But I'm a big fan of the show Shockwaves that is done through Blumhouse.com, and it is a spinoff of an old show called Killer POV, and it's just two and a half hours of people talking about horror stuff like once a week, and it's just pure morphine for me. Like, yes, tell me more about random facts about Tourist Trap. And they had brought it up, and I remember seeing trailers for it, and like I'm fascinated by the rise of the creepypasta movement on the internet.
Yeah,
because like it's mostly really awful. It's mostly Who Was Phone type things. I don't know if you're familiar with Who Was Phone. Whose phone is a famous internet meme, incoherent creepypasta where it's like, I'm making out with my girlfriend on the couch, and then her dad called and said, you guys better not be making out. And I hung out, and I'm like, your dad's a real dick. And she's like, my dad's dead. Then who was phone? And it's clearly supposed to be who was on the phone, and it was a typo written by an 11-year-old that has just become a thing. And like most of them are that bad. But occasionally you find these like really well done micro fictions, and like I majored in like English, you know, in creative writing and stuff like that. And it doesn't buy me any credibility. It just shows like that I am apt to take an interest with no expertise whatsoever in like weird fiction stuff, because it just reminds me of sitting in a creative writing class and going like, oh, that person's thing was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
And
same with me in screenwriting classes.
Yeah, it's all that mechanic. And for the longest time, people were trying to option creepypasta stuff into things. But because it's the internet, the legal quagmire is just a nightmare. But this show found a way to kind of do it. And what they're doing is this kind of interesting anthology thing where they're doing 6-episode runs covering, like, telling an original story based on a creepypasta story.
Okay, so
the first one is Candle Cove, which is a famous creepypasta about, like, a kids' TV show that kids remembered that, like, ended up in deaths, because they always end in deaths. And I'd seen the trailer, and it looked real aesthetically interesting. But then, because it's, like, very rarely, just because of between trying to like run a podcast, be a comedian, be a amateur filmmaker, plus like work to put food in my mouth, like I don't get a ton of time. So I've been a guy who kind of doubles down on movies, because like I love the idea that after 2 hours I'm done and we don't have to like see each other again.
Yeah.
Like I love that it is a no strings attached relationship. Like TV shows are like well and good, but the number of times I've like thought like, okay, I'm going to spend 13 hours on this. And then at the end, this perfectly brings us back to Stranger Things. One of the issues I had with Stranger Things, this will all make sense, I swear to God.
Oh, I'm just starting to connect
the red strings to this map I've set up in your room. The thing that I had with Stranger Things, like it TVs you up at the end, because it tells you this like totally interesting and engaging story, and at the very end it does the thing about TV that I don't enjoy, which is that they're constantly upselling you for another season.
Yeah.
And I don't love that, because like I would rather you just finish a story and trust that I will come back because you did a great job telling a story.
Yeah.
And I don't need to have I do not have cliffhanger syndrome where I'm just like, I gotta come back, I gotta know the answers. I'm not that invested in anything. I don't need to know the answers. I'll just be fine.
You're like, a very lucky person.
I fall off of shows all the time because I don't care. Like,
yeah, I've only had that with a few, like Walking Dead. I keep up just because at this point I'm just so invested. It's like, you know, it's good.
7 years in, it's hard to be like, now I'm done.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, I completely agree. Like, the end of Stranger Things, it would have been perfect if they just left it at that dinner scene.
Yeah, that's exactly my same feeling on it. But all of a sudden, you got to set it up. Like I just wish the sheriff, after he put the waffles into the box, had turned to the camera and said, I bet you're wondering what this means. Maybe tune in next year. And then, like, winked, and then just an iris out. Because it felt like such a crass insult to the idea of like a complete narrative.
Yeah, because that was so, every character was so fleshed out, it was all there, it was perfect. We didn't need to know, like,
yeah,
you know what, kid's fine.
I'm okay with like leaving open ends.
Yeah,
like, it does not bother me.
As a huge fan of Lost, I am completely okay with this.
And I love, like, and Lost was hell for cliffhangers, but I didn't get mad at the end of Lost, because like I don't need a story to tell me, and this is what happened. Like, I feel like there's like a weird subconscious thing we have as people where like we've turned to TV at this point to try to tell us why we're here. And like if we watch TV long enough, like an angel will fly down and go like, this was the real purpose to life. But with Channel Zero, it is ostensibly the same thing as Stranger Things. They are both like horror stories. Like sci-fi horror stories with where a person like the set in a small town where like with kids and a subplot bouncing back and forth between kids and adults in a very Stephen King fashion, hurtling towards a conclusion. I would say that out the gate, before any of your listeners just start sending me hate mail, like Stranger Things is for sure a more sophisticated and well fleshed out, but it's also double the length of Channel Zero. I like, but they are, if you watch them back to back, like they are crazy similar. But I would say the difference is the things that I enjoyed about Stranger Things are compounded by the fact that there are things that Stranger Things tries to do that people were like, oh, it's just like this. Like, for example, I'm an insane Stephen King fan. Like, and I love lots of pretentious writers too, but like Stephen King's my guy. He is the jammy jam. Yeah. I just keep thinking of your poor mother's face, and I cannot bring myself to be a filthy sailor mouth monster.
Go for it. Her favorite episode was Rivers, so oh, I think you're fine.
Okay, but Stranger Things, people are like, oh, it's just like a Stephen King book, and like I just kept thinking, like, no, it's not. It looks like that, but none of the actual elements in there live up to it. And it's also like, they're like, oh, it's so spookier thing. Like, no, it's not. It's a Steven Spielberg movie, but it's pulling from elements of Steven Spielberg movies people forget exist.
Yeah, like
it's pulling from that mid-70s to mid-80s Steven Spielberg aesthetic, where it's like, it's a little bit more rough and tumble. He's not a dad yet. He's not a grandpa yet, so he still has this kind of like edge of like, I'm a smoke a doob, like drink a beer and like be kind of fun with my like movies, but still the family can hang out. He's like, he's still like a cool uncle.
Yeah.
And then eventually he kind of like sanitizes his work for like his family stuff, and you get like a very different aesthetic. But people don't go back and think like think of that stuff in the context of that. They just have this vague memory of what they have. And Stranger Things so adeptly just taps into your vague familiarities with those things. Whereas Channel Zero, I found super interesting because it really hits a lot of those Stephen King notes of like very flawed characters who are very frustrating, who and very dark things happen to innocent people. Like Stranger Things, people lost their mind when Barb dies. And first of all, like, who gives a shit? It's a scary story. Someone has to die.
I know. Like everyone.
My only disappointment is that like five more people don't die in that show.
Yeah.
There's no stakes to that show. No one is in danger. And even she's going to end up coming back in the second season. So who cares? There's no stakes to this show whatsoever.
When I ordered the vinyl of the soundtrack, because to me that was the best part. I was like, I could just pop that on and listen to it. So I got that. And in there was a note from the company. It's like, it's from Vinyl, this new company, like a subscription vinyl service thing, and they're like, thanks for purchasing this, hashtag justice for Barb. And I just ripped it up and went, no.
And what's great is there's a scene in Channel Zero where a character is stabbed to death by children like and stabbed to death in a very and she has no, like, she's done nothing wrong. She's actually probably one of the kinder characters on the show. She is literally trying to do the right thing, and she is killed before she can help anyone, because that's how like compelling horror works.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, there's no justice, and like there's no safety, and like bad things happen to good people for no reason.
Yeah.
Now I don't think Channel Zero is like a perfect show. Like, again, these are two shows that I think are fine.
Yeah.
Because like Channel Zero has some issues. I think that it's fascinating because it's basically like a weird, semi-incoherent art house film that somehow tricked people into letting it be a six-hour TV show. And that's amazing. But part of what makes it amazing is that it's super sloppy. And it just lets itself be sloppy. And it doesn't have to pull out Robert McKee's story and go like, well, we've hit all the boxes. Because like, there is imagery in Channel Zero that I think I have thought about every day since I watched it. Like, there's an amazing shot. Again, there's no spoilers. It's in the pilot. But, like, of dead kids hanging in trees. Like, and not, like, hanged, but, like, upside down or, like, by their waist. Like, they're all in different positions like they're horrifying Christmas ornaments.
Oh, wow.
And it's nightmare fuel. And it's not – it's all shot very, like, stylistically. So it's not wildly violent. But you do have to confront, like, the shape that you are looking at is a dead kid in a tree.
Yeah.
And you just have to accept that this is a world where that's a thing that can happen. And we're like you live in a universe in this show where like horrible things happen to innocent people for no reason. And you just have to accept that that is the base rules. Whereas like Stranger Things spends so much time going like, don't worry, this person's safe and like nothing can happen. And like, that's not bad, but it's also like going back to my thing of like reference versus like tribute. Like, the vagueness of Stranger Things, where it's like there's no actual peril, is like, it's the same reason like I don't like E.T. Like,
okay.
E.T. is a movie that I know is beloved. I don't know if you're a fan or not,
I haven't seen it in a long time, so I don't really have an opinion.
As a kid, even, I thought that movie sucks. Like, I've never liked it because I never – there's no stakes to that movie. Like, yeah. There's and I don't mean, like, stakes. Like, oh, we got to get from point A to point B. But, like, you know from the first time you see E.T. that E.T. is going to be fine. And so even when, like, they're pulled into, like, the hospital thing, you're just like, this is dumb because, like, I know they're going to be fine. It's and – I've seen Spielberg tribute movies that, again, are fine, but who do a better job of doing that than other things. Like, I think Super 8, right, which is a flawed movie, but it's a movie I enjoy because, yeah, I feel like that did a really good job of being a Steven Spielberg tribute movie. And it's weird that, like, that movie came out, what, 5 years ago?
I think more than that.
And people are like, yeah, maybe more than that, but people are like, this movie sucks. It's just ripping off Steven Spielberg. And, like, Stranger Things... did the exact same thing with no variation, and literally people's minds are exploding. Yeah. Like, it's shocking to me. Like, I guess the only difference is, like, in like the very end of Super 8 is, like, just a riff on Close Encounters, whereas, like, the end of Stranger Things is just like, well, let's return to normalcy. Let's get everybody back to stage one because it's a, yeah, TV show and people can't grow. Like, and it's just so weird that, like, two shows that are both kind of disgustingly sentimental and are both fine, but, like, one, people are like, Super 8's terrible, but Stranger Things, that's the greatest movie I've ever seen, or greatest thing I've ever seen. I don't get why people can't just let things be, like, fine. Like, people, yeah, I find that more and more I have people, walking out of theaters or finishing a TV show, and it's – and I guess, like, with TV, it's got to be that, like, you spent 13 hours watching something. Because, like I said with Channel Zero to people I've talked to about it, is that, like, if that show were 13 episodes long, I'd be furious at the ending. Yeah. Because there's a lot – it's got – lands – it sticks the landing, but it sticks it sloppy. But for 6 hours, I was like, sure, you took me on a journey, you showed me some cool stuff, and you never had an episode where characters just sit around, like, we're like going, like, well, we got to kill 35 of these 45 minutes because, yeah, this is a 13-episode season, and we've just got to, like, waste your time, which, yeah, Stranger Things for sure does.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And but at the same time, like, I guess it's the time investment, and we're all very busy doing something that, like, we need to either feel like what we've done is – highly significant, or we have been slighted by something that has wasted our precious time. I don't understand that. Like, do you have thoughts on this? Because I've, yeah, talked way too,
oh,
much.
Oh, no. That, the point of my podcast is just let people talk. You know, I want to hear what they have to hear. People hear me in the beginning and end of this thing. So, yeah, no, I mean, I completely agree. I, like, when I was watching that, I was like, yeah, this is good. I would, you know, and then I started watching Black Mirror recently.
Mm-hmm.
Watched the whole thing within, like, a week. Because I love that, you know, it was a new story every time.
Yeah.
It knew to just – that show was just like, yeah, we're just going to do one thing, and then we're just going to be done with it.
Yeah, and
we're
I love gonna, that.
And there's and only, like, one reference throughout the whole thing.
And I
thing.
Feel like that's why Black Mirror blows people's minds. Because, like, can you believe that they told a coherent story with a beginning, middle, and end that I have no follow-up on? I just get to think about? Like – It is funny to me that, like, because that show's so good. Like, I've not gotten to watch the third season yet. It's on.
Oh, it's
on.
Awesome.
Man, I am really excited.
It's so good.
I have a whole pile of shirts to iron. I'm going to put on Black Mirror, and I'm going to iron shirts and watch Black Mirror. That is how I get my TV watched.
That's perfect.
It is. TV is a thing that makes laundry fun.
Yeah, I usually do laundry on Sundays during football.
Oh,
so.
There you go. See? Perfect. Perfect
yeah.
thing.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, I got through all three seasons at my job. I have a lot of downtime at night, just overseeing editors, so I was able to just go through, watch the whole thing, and, like, I loved it. You know, like, even the final episode is an hour and 30 minutes, and it felt like, you know, like a good TV movie.
Yeah.
Everything has a beginning, middle, and end. You know, they couple of them, it's like, oh, there could be something happening after, but nothing, you know, nothing's ever going to happen, and that's great.
Yeah.
And some of it, I'm like, this episode wasn't that good, but this episode is great, and it's like, you can really just pick and choose whatever you want, and
It's versus that sneaking suspicion when you're watching a TV show and you've already put 6 hours in and all of a sudden you're just like, oh, I don't think I like this show. Oh, no. Like, and I guess, like, that can be why, like, you're all of a sudden mad because you're just like, this was the worst because it didn't go the way I wanted. It's like, you could just stop. Like, you can just start something new. And when somebody, like, says, like, oh, did you watch that thing? You're like, I couldn't get into it. Like, which is another thing that people just get so mad at. Like, if something's in the zeitgeist,
Yeah.
And you just don't have interest in it. Like, that used to be, like, I feel like in the 80s and 90s, not caring about things that were, like, super hip was, like, cool. And now you're, like, an enemy of the people.
Yeah.
Like, it's now, like, if you're, like, not watching Westworld, like, you are, like, you might as well just be, like, other, like, are you on the run? Like, are you, did you join ISIL? Like, what is happening here? Don't you know that this is the best, that this is TV is our thing?
Yeah.
And that's not me shitting on TV, but it's just, it's this weird reaction to people, like, being so invested in it.
Mm-hmm. When I, yeah, I mean, I've been watching Westworld.
I feel like I sound like a real grump on that.
No, you're fine.
I feel like I sound like the biggest dick.
No, we'll get in.
I'm just like, people need to find themselves. Well, there's that. Like, if you're super into TV, that is fine.
Yeah.
Like, if you, like are into whatever you're into, like I say in my podcast, I love people having enthusiasm. Because I'd rather people have enthusiasm for something and have the bravery to like something mm-hmm. than to just, like, be shitty about stuff and have ironic detachment.
Yeah, okay.
To me, that is so much worse.
Yeah, I totally get that, because I have friends at work. You know, we all kind of watch, you know, everyone's always watching the new kind of up-to-date yeah. stuff, and everyone's watching Westworld and stuff. Some of them are like, it's an okay show. I'm like, I really enjoy it, but there are other shows where you're like, oh, this is great, and I'm like, eh.
Yeah.
Like, I totally get that. Like, I'm trying to push it on anyone.
There are times I almost would rather talk to somebody who's, like, got a mixed opinion on something, because
yes.
I feel like you're going to end up with a more interesting conversation. It's why I've had such a complicated relationship with nerd culture in the last few mm-hmm. years, because the auspice of nerd culture that they sell you is, oh, well, if you're just friends with people who like the exact same things you do, that means you guys are best friends. And I have found growing up, very rarely were the people I was friends with super into the exact same stuff as me.
Yeah.
And that, like, but that didn't make us not friends. Like, and that didn't mean they hated the things I liked or that I hated the things they liked. But, like, we were attracted to different stuff. But, like, we got along as, like, people.
Yeah.
And, like, I could learn stuff from them and they could learn stuff from me and we could find common ground. But I don't know if I would have, if I've ever been able to do well in, like, a position where I and the people I'm hanging with like the exact same things. Because, like, where is the interesting conversation in that?
Yeah,
and,
I mean,
and that's the thing I find sort of troubling with the sort of, like, bill of goods that, like, nerd culture has started to build a narrative of what you want. Because I don't know that that's the best way to, like, learn people or, like, grow as a person.
Yeah. As a big wrestling fan, I completely get all of this.
Oh, yeah. See, I would say a good half to two-thirds of my friends, especially in comedy, are big wrestling fans. I grew up against wrestling. I grew up being picked on by the dudes who liked wrestling. I had such a bad taste in my mouth for years and years and years. And the first time you're blown up, the first time I had a good experience with, like, like wrestling was in college, where, like, my roommate and one of my best friends, a guy named Eric Bryan, who's a brilliant musician and writer, grew up a big wrestling fan, and, like, was able to contextualize it in ways where I could kind of, like, get it and appreciate it in a way that wasn't people calling me gay epitaphs.
Which nowadays, if you like wrestling and people don't, they're like, you know, it's fake. And they're just like dudes rubbing against each other. And it's just like, kind of come full circle.
You know, what's weird. Fake never bothered me, but no. I definitely, as a 12-year-old before I was a more enlightened person, was just like, why are you watching dudes rub against each other? I'm like, oh, 12-year-old Kyle, why don't you, I get where you're coming from, but let's play less of the homophobe.
Yeah. No, especially when it comes to wrestling, there are certain things out there where it's like,
fascinating.
There are certain things where everyone agrees, this is just the best. There's this promotion out in Reseda called PWG. Hands down, the best wrestling everywhere, anywhere in the world. Best guys from pretty much all around the world who aren't in the WWE. They come there, they wrestle, and they're pretty much no limits on what they're allowed to do. So they can just, there's no, like, oh, you can't do this move, you can't do this move. If you want to do it, do it. And it just allows these guys to tell great stories in the ring and do all this stuff. And that's definitely very, it's very good, because for, like, at least as wrestling fans, because we have this place, we can put something up on a pedestal kind of with PWG, because these guys, and also it's been around for 13 years and they've used mostly the same roster. So you've seen guys grow a lot. Like, their current tag champs, I think, have been there for like 6-7 years. Excuse me. And so they, so you get that, and then you get, like, everyone who watches WWE as well. And they're like, oh, this isn't that good. But like just last night, there was a big event, Survivor Series. And I've been texting one of my good buddies who we watch wrestling all the time. We watch pay-per-views together. And he really did not like it at all.
Yeah.
Which
that's been a fascinating thing for me, is like finding that like wrestling fans have like very strong. I'm a big fan of, I don't know if you listen to the Giant Bombcast.
No, I've heard of it.
It's a video game podcast. I adore it. It's like 3 hours long, and it's just some nerdy ass nerd talk. Like they will spend an hour talking about like comparing two video cards, and I'm just like, ugh, I love this. I have no idea what they're talking about, and I cannot stop listening. But they have very strong opinions on wrestling stuff, and like
oh, yeah.
And it's interesting to hear. Like, wrestling fans are in the same boat as, like, horrifying indie rock fans or, like, that the shitty old punk rock guy who, like, bands aren't hard anymore, or, like, comic book fans who are mad that, like, Comic-Con is a giant, chilly corporate monster machine.
Yeah.
Or, like, any... I love that, like, across the board, like, there are just... Whoever loves something the most truly hates it the most.
Yeah.
Me and my friend Matt Curdy, who's a great comedian, who... we first met because we both are lifelong punk rock folk. You can tell from my cargo shorts how punk rock I am.
Well, if you check out my vinyl collection, you'll definitely see it.
And Matt Curdy, like, people get very confused because he's a very hardcore, like, crust punk, noise rock kind of guy who you'd think he's heavy metal, but then when you sort of see, like, the bands, you're like, oh, this is... To the untrained eye, this is very confusing.
Yeah.
But he and I got along immediately because we both, like... You know, lots of like weird stuff that most people would not consider music, you know, and
it's most of my music.
And it's fun because like he'll throw stuff at me because he's really good at finding a ton of like international acts. Like there's so many like Japanese and Italian crust acts that he's turned me on to that are like insane. Like he turned me on to this subgenre of like Italian crust from like the 70s where they didn't have a lot of distortion pedals. And so like big crunchy sounds were not how they made their stuff sound aggressive. It would instead be kind of emulating like organ sounds, and so it's all this kind of like terrifying like goblin meets like kind of Italian opera like circular guitar noises, but then with like crazy drums and screaming vocals, and it's the coolest shit I've ever heard.
That sounds amazing.
Like, and but we both talked about how like it's funny because both of us like love punk rock so much, and like just think about it on a religious level, but at the same time, like both of us just like hate it so much and can like shit on it with like with a vigor and a rage that is probably unsettling and unhealthy. But like we were talking about how like you can't really hate something in a true way unless you really love it. Like,
yeah.
I feel like when I look at wrestling fans, that's I totally get that level of it where I'm just like, oh man, like you love this so much that it's poisoned your body.
I love you so much, I can't let you go.
Exactly. like now you have to die.
You either die with me or you Yeah, I mean, I get that. Like, I'm a huge pop punk kid. I love...
See, actually, that was where me and Matt Curdy started our conversation, because of all of the genres of music, I think it's the thing we both hate most.
Really?
Because it was the opposition. Because I think, like, he and I are just, like, how old are you?
24.
See, you're the age where it shifts, because you're where that normalized.
Yeah.
I'm 20, I'll be 30 next month, or in January, and...
I think we share a birthday, actually.
Are you January 22nd?
Oh, it's 17th.
Oh.
I remember something.
We're both Aquariuses, though, yeah, bro. So
something close. I actually share a birthday with my lead singer, my favorite band.
Which band?
The Wonder Years, as you can see by the three separate posters up there.
I was noticing. I just wanted you to say it out loud.
Yep.
I always think of the Wonder Years because there's a car in my neighborhood where like somebody who lives across the street is a huge fan of the Wonder Years, so they have a Wonder Years sticker across the back of their windshield. So I was thinking, for a while, I was like, that show? And then I found out it was a band. I was like, oh. That makes way more sense. I thought they just loved Kevin Arnold.
You know, I really love coming-of-age sitcoms based around Vietnam.
You watched that show recently? It's the most cripplingly depressing shit I've ever seen.
I tried to watch it like
so
a year
sad.
Ago.
There is no joy in that show. No.
I tried to watch it a year ago, and I just like started like back on the pilot, and I was just like, oh, God.
Bummer town.
Yeah, I'm not happy
you
right
just
now.
Just keep waiting for Paul to turn into Marilyn Manson.
Yeah, pretty much.
But pop punk was the I got into punk rock because I was fat and awkward and weird, and all of a sudden I saw images of like weirdos who were like they weren't gross weirdo losers, they were punk rock, and I was like, oh, this is going to be very important now.
Yep,
because it went from feeling like a weird outsider to feeling like a part of a new tribe. Like it was that, it's that Gabba Gabba, we accept you kind of thing where I was like, oh man, Joey Ramone is the ugliest man I've ever seen. Like, and he's the singer of a rock band. That's a, that's an option. Like you could, like, or seeing like D Boone from the Minutemen. I'm like, you can be fat and you can still play guitar. I am in. Where do I sign up?
Yep.
And, but found that. And then pop punk came along very shortly after. And all of a sudden, very handsome, very well-adjusted people were like, putting on, like, you know, checkerboard Converse and rocking out to Blink 182 and going like, we all have like girlfriends and we're all cool and everything, like, and it just felt like such a like, oh, this is the Civil War. This is and I've of course become an adult and I no longer feel that way, but it's definitely like I imagine it's there's definitely like still a hardwired part of my DNA where I'm like, oh, those guys.
Yeah, I've had an interesting coming up with the, at least my music, because I grew up in Roseville, Sacramento area.
Okay. And, ooh, a real kind of hotbed for that stuff, too.
Yeah, exactly, because we had Artery Records.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I'm sure you know about
it. I've wasted my life, so I still know a lot about it.
Yeah.
You gotta know your enemy.
So, yeah, like, I mean, I remember going to, like, Devil Wear Prada shows when I was in, like, sixth grade. Like, I've been listening to metalcore and pop punk, and, like, being between those two is I would get into kind of more hardcore bands, and I would get into more punk stuff, because it's like, I like stuff that's really heavy, and I like stuff that's lighter, so.
Who are your guys? The Wonder Years?
Like, early A Day to Remember was the absolute jam. So they're kind of like, most of my bands that I really listen to came along around 2008 to 2012. Okay. So you got Story So Far, Modern Baseball is this great kind of like,
oh, I know Modern Baseball.
Modern Baseball is fantastic. They're, every time they put out a new record, you're like, this is the greatest thing they've ever done. No way they top it. Then you heard the new one, you're like, they did it again. It's, they're in my top three for sure. You know, but back in the day, it was like brand new Devil Wears Prada, Chiodos.
Okay.
I was really big into like the metalcore scene. Okay. So like Bring Me the Horizon, stuff like that. So pretty much
the man in the North Albanian beard was into metalcore.
I know.
Go on.
You mean the guy who was from
you look nothing like what I would imagine if I were to describe a metalcore guy from the mid-2000s to a police sketch artist.
As I'm wearing my Title Fight t-shirt.
I was going to make you bring it up.
Hey, Title Fight still kills it. Still kills it. Yeah, I mean, like, I've only missed two Warped Tours ever since I've been going in 06.
I've only been to one Warped Tour.
Oh, my God. You should come with me, because it's amazing.
I went, now I'd have to dress as Father Time and just be like, death will come for you all, children. I went the year, I stocked against me for a large portion of the mid-2000s, and they were on a Warped Tour. Actually, they were on a Warped Tour, and then my brother and I had gone out to that, and it was not bad. There was some Less Than Jake.
Saw them this year at Warped Tour.
Living, and of course you did, because they're always there. Yep. It's their tomb. They're buried there. I'm trying to think who else we saw. I mostly remember those three bands. The rest of it, and I remember taking a nap in a field to Plain White Tees and just trying to turn further away, but it was the only grass in the area we were at, so it was a good napping spot. I'm like, oh, this band's terrible.
Yeah.
And I remember that day, two weird things happened. One, a guy had like a bottle of whiskey at one point and just like shattered it on the ground in front of me, and I just had all this broken glass in my shins. Like, and I remember that was like a real weird moment. Like,
yeah.
And then my brother and I were standing next to my shitty Honda Civic at the end of the day, and these two girls keep like mad dogging us. And eventually they walk over to us and ask if we'll sign their tickets. And we say, no, because we're just two guys standing next to a Honda Civic getting ready to leave. And they're like, no, come on, please just sign it. I know this is weird, but like, just sign it. We know who you are. I'm like, who are we? And they're like, you're clearly Chris and Aaron from Under Oath. And I was like, I'm sorry, you seem to be mistaken. And she got real forced. She's like, just sign the ticket. And I was like, fine, who am I? She's like, you're Chris. Like, my brother's like, so I'm Aaron. She's like, yes. And like, we just literally signed Chris. My brother wrote Aaron from Under Oath. Like, and handed the ticket back, and they just walked away. And then we looked at them, like, we do sort of look like in that time period, like we could. My brother really looks like that guy. And then I was bummed because I'm the keyboard player from Under Oath, which makes me sad. I'm like, oh, I'm not even one of the cool guys. But that was such a weird thing. I'm like, well, I can't come to a Warped Tour again because that's as good as this is possibly going to get. She also couldn't have been that big of an Under Oath fan because they were literally on stage playing, like, I think as we were leaving. So, like, this girl, like, who's theoretically a fan of this band, but not enough to watch them, but enough to assault a person in a parking lot.
As someone who has seen Under Oath a couple times, about four times, I...
Are they full of tall, dumpy guys? Like, is that... like, is
there's,
just,
like, one dude.
Well, I used to have hair down to here, like down to my shoulders and a big-ass beard.
And I've seen pictures of your brother before.
Yeah.
And, like, I could get that, but it's also, like, you have to think, these guys are... Just to me, it's pretty funny because, like, I get you because the keyboard player, he's a big guy. He's a bigger, broad guy. Everyone else in that band is that skinny emo kid rail.
Okay.
So to me, that's just kind of like,
Oh, Aaron hit hard time.
Like that just, I could get the long orange hair, but other than that, I don't see any. That's hilarious.
I think it's such a strange thing.
that's hilarious. Yeah. I mean, even when I go to Warped Tour, there's still bands there where it's just like, I'll listen to them and be like, oh, they're okay. But then, you know, you hear kids come in and they're just like, this was the greatest thing ever. And I'm just like,
it's
good, but like they're pretty run in the mill at this point for half the bands that are on here. It's like, at this point, I don't go to find new bands. I go just to see the ones I like and that's it.
I, because I'm definitely still a music festival fan. Like, I love it because it's like the sampler platter of like, there's so many bands that like I would never pay to see on their own, but I've seen like more than once on a festival because I know they're good. Or I'll love like going like, oh, I hear them, they're good, I'll go check them out. And like, I've definitely had a ton of bands that have like totally blown my mind and like I've become a big fan of because like you were right place, right time to see them play.
Yeah, I get
the other thing that's weird for me with like punk rock stuff is like, as much as I love all of it, I also found that like I always subscribe to that kind of D-Boon, like punk is what you make it thing. Like, and a lot of my like favorite bands are not necessarily punk rock bands. Like my, you know, kind of top list is like Against Me, who are like a punk band, but also like The Replacements and like Sonic Youth. And The Eels, like, which is about, and Wilco, like, that's about as arbitrary a list and not a particularly hard rocking group of bands to go. But at the same time, like, those are all bands that I like love and listen to all the time. But then if like Leftover Crack is coming to town, or like if somebody's like blasting Toxic Narcotic, I'm like, oh, good, turn it up. Like, that's you know, fuck some shit up. Like, it's awesome. Like, that it was such a like life thing.
Yeah, I get that. I will say I've never felt more in place at a show than the time I saw Social Distortion.
They were the first band I ever saw live, and I actually have their logo tattooed on my leg, and I really would love for them to stop making records so I can stop having to defend this tattoo. Because when their last album was Sex, Love, and Rock and Roll, it was really, I'm like, hey, man, they just became a cool country man in the end. They put out that piece of shit
Hard
Nursery
Time.
Rhymes record that is just a flaming pile of garbage with one good song that was a B-side of the record before it. And it makes me so mad because it means I can't just fully destroy that record because it has Bakersfield, which is a good song, but it's like 10 years older than their other stuff. A lot of opinions. A real complicated relationship. You burn a band's logo onto your skin.
You're
really banking on them not being shitty.
Especially when you grow up like just with all the punk stuff too, and then they're like, oh, we kind of feel like putting out like a bluesy rock album.
Well, they just became like they were so quick to embrace like being like a classic rock punk band. Like they really paved the way for like a lot of bands to just be like, we're the new version of like coming to see Def Leppard. Like, and it's just such a bummer.
Yeah.
The last time I saw them too was a bummer because it was like not only were they really bad, and normally I've seen them 9 or 10 times.
Oh, wow.
They're great live. They're a super fun band live. But they've definitely started to embrace their ham bone nature. And then it was a bummer too because like both warm up bands are two of my favorite acts of all time. It was Chuck Reagan from Hollywood Music doing his, and then Lucero, who are probably maybe number 6 on my like favorite bands. And my God, like everybody was terrible, and it just really so. My brain has just made it that it was Social Distortion's fault that every band sounded bad that day. Like they had a meeting, or like, all right, everybody, we all got to shit the bed tonight because we're gonna do a bad job.
Oh, that's hilarious. I kind of got into them later.
Yeah, and there's a lot of good stuff.
Yeah.
Love that band.
Yeah, I've gone back and I've listened to their whole stuff, and obviously the early stuff is definitely the best.
My favorite is the middle stuff.
Yeah.
I like when they just let themselves become like a weird country punk band. Like, to me, that's always the jam, is that self-titled and Sex, Love, and Rock and Roll. Like, those two records.
I'd have to say White.
Light, White, Heat, White, Trash. Yeah, that's a good one,
that's
too.
That's my favorite.
Telling Them is a brilliant punk rock song.
Yeah. Yeah, so I got lucky when I saw them. Most of their set was pretty punk.
Yeah.
It was a lot of like that early and middle stuff. They played a few songs off the new album, but
it's and they stay like any good classic rock band. Like, they're gonna just give you largely the hits. Like, and you're not gonna have to worry too much.
No,
the so like I still stand by, like, if they're around, go see them. They're a solid band. It's, the problem is, like, there's always that moment where you feel that panic, like, are they about to play Machine Gun Blues?
Like, when you just go get a beer.
To go get a beer or pee or just be anywhere but here. But then they might play like 1945 and then you're good.
Yeah.
So it's a real crapshoot. It's just a slow-mo to terror, like, of gambling at a Social Distortion concert. A really good friend of mine also has a Social Distortion tattoo, and we met through a friend, and he's probably one of my closest, longest running friends, and I'll let him remain nameless for people who don't know he has a Social Distortion tattoo, because he has a professional adult job, and but we both bonded over, as we described it, our ill-advised Social Distortion tattoos, because we have the same opinion on it, where it is that gamble, like, no, you don't understand, it was great, and then all of a sudden he's an asshole with a Tommy gun. No one signed up for that.
Oh god. Yeah, that even comes with, like, a lot of bands.
Yeah.
No, oh, like,
it's,
yeah.
It's always dangerous.
Yeah, like, I would have to say for me, like, especially that, like, you love them or hate them thing that we've kind of been talking about this whole time, like, A Day to Remember for me is probably that band. It's the one I get really, like, you know, grumpy old man about, because, like, their first two albums, some of the best, like, pop punk, easy core, semi, you know, it was this weird genre that they had created where it was heavy, but it was also pop punk.
Mm-hmm.
And it was some of the most amazing stuff out there at the time. They just blew to the top of the scene, and then they started, like...
And so that's A Day to Remember?
Yeah.
Who else would you say is, like, in that vein? Because I'm trying to, like, envision that, because that sounds very, like... I'm like, I feel like I know what he's talking about.
Well, they got really popular once they started putting out, like, a lot of the softer, more poppy pop-punk stuff, and that's when I was like, no, stay kind of metal. And so, like, for me, that's where it's, like... That's, like, probably my one only thing where I'm just, like... Oh, you know, everything's 100% with you or 100% guessed against you. It's just like when bands completely change sounds, it's like, just make a new band.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I thoroughly agree on that. I'll actually bring this full circle to both that concept plus the other concept you're talking about. Because as far as, like, bands who, like, are fine versus, like, polarizing stuff, and again, like, I'll bring it back just real quick to, like, Social Distortion. I still think Social Distortion a fine band. Like, just because they put out a record that I didn't like doesn't mean I then have to turn and go, like, I abandon all memories of you and expunge you from my life. Like, and a band that has really been an interesting process for that, it, for me, is Against Me. Because I've been an Against Me fan since, I would say since the Disco Before the Breakdown EP.
Okay.
And I've seen them a half a billion times. And there used to be such a thing where, like, my brother and I used to make the joke, like, Against Me don't release albums, they start arguments. Because every album they have has been this horrifying, brutal debate where, like, shitty, crusty people and, like, just different factions of people are just like, well, it's over. It was a good run. They made one good album. And then, like, because I remember, like, reading a review for Eternal Cowboy, their second record, which is a phenomenal album.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's I think it's probably in the top 50 best, like, punk albums from the last decade. And one of the reviews I read was like, by the time the record finished, I couldn't stop crying because the band I loved was gone. And I was like, oh, you're going to be real bummed because shit just keeps getting weirder from here. And it's why I like them so much, is that they are always shifting.
Yeah.
And then their album after that, Searching for a Former Clarity, is, I think, a masterpiece of an album. I think it's the best album they've ever made. I think it has some of the smartest lyric writing on a record. I think that the production value on it's really good. People hate that record. And when it came out, people were just like, well, it's over. I know I said it the last time. Or that last guy was crazy. That last record's great, but this one's bad. This is so bad. It's done. And then their next record comes out, and yet they signed a Sire, and they put out New Wave. And people are like, well, now it's really over. I know those other two guys have already bailed. I was still on the team. That last two records are great. I stood by. And this, though, this is awful. And it's literally every album, they seem to have this weird dwindling thing of, like, some guy saying, this guy's falling. I'm like, how about you just say, like, you liked those, and you didn't dig this one as much? And maybe in a year, when something else comes out that's different, Like, and that's what it is. It comes down to like, well, it's different. It's different than I was expecting, and that makes me uncomfortable. And I'm immediately not just totally placated, so I have to be very panicked about it. Yeah. And like, they have records I don't like. I don't love the album White Crosses. And as far as their newer stuff goes, like since the development of Lord Jean Grace, I thought that trans dysphoria blues. There's just a lot of words there,
yeah.
And they're all really important words. And I am bad with words, but like I thought that record was a great return. But it's also been an interesting thing with their newest record, which I think is called Shapeshift with Me, which is great. But like almost none of the band is the same lineup anymore. Mm. And I sort of go like, I like this record, but like it doesn't sound like the band that like I signed up for. I would still listen. I'm still listening to it, but I sort of wish they'd change their name to like Laura Jane Grace and the like flaming,
yeah,
like burning white cross, yeah, searching for a former clarities from hell or something like something
in the gender fluid band.
Yeah,
or something
yeah,
like that.
The gender fluid funk band, like the or Laura Grace is a whole lot of woman, like whatever it needs to be. She's a genius. Like I will pick up every record she ever makes, but I wish she'd change the band name because like. I think that like the records they made in that time period capture a time period and then like close the book, start a new chunk where like you get to be the person that you want to be and like still make great music. But like it's the same way like I love like, you know, like I love Minor Threat. I also love Fugazi. I also mm-hmm. love Embrace. I don't go like, God, I wish they'd held on to the name Minor Threat the whole time. Like I love when artists evolve over time and I especially love when artists evolve and change band names or start doing different stuff. Like with somebody like Origin Grace, I wish she had like five bands. I wish she'd like set up with like the guys in the band Cheap Girls, like because she produced their record Giant Orange and it's fucking brilliant. And I wish that like she'd do an experiment there or she'd like do a weird – there's an old solo record called Heartburns that she did back in the day that had some really interesting ideas. Like I wish – those kinds of bands where they're so dedicated to holding a name drive me crazy because mm-hmm. I feel like if you just open it up and let yourself explore other space, like you can still have like that name and that product exist, but like do get weird with it.
Yeah.
Like let it fly and go nuts because I feel like you bring less baggage to it. Like Against Me is a band that has a ton of baggage yeah. attached to its name. And like that's fine and still make Against Me records if that's what you want to do, but also make 10 other weird records that are experiments, like because like you're a really interesting artist and I wish you weren't sticking to just needing to be in this one thing.
Yeah, I get that. That's why I think like side projects are great for bands.
It's
like
I love a side project yeah. for a band.
Yeah, like especially, you know, growing up, Blink-182 was like my favorite band of all time.
And you love Angels and Airwaves. The Pink Floyd of pop punk.
Oh, God. First album I was on board, I was like, you know
As what? Was America.
Yeah, because we're like, you know what? He's doing something different, and we're cool with that, because it's not Blink. It's him doing that. Then he tried to come back to Blink and bring that with him, and we said no. And then... But like Plus 44 was great because they're like, yeah, we're just gonna go like. If
you Plus 44 is fun because it's just people go. Who gives a shit? This is just fun. We don't give a goddamn.
No, and like even listening to that album now, I listened to it probably like 6 months ago. Just was like, oh, I haven't listened to this in forever, and I was just like, oh man, this sounds so mid 2000s. Yeah. This does not really hold up.
What was I just playing for somebody? And it's funny. We're just far enough away now that mid 2000s. Like early Pro Tools production value mm-hmm. really has a sound,
yeah,
and you can really hear it on records. There's the, and really you hear it on like pop punk and emo records at that time because they were the people who were throwing money at it,
yeah.
And that was like when like quantizing and autotune were like just in their infancy, and like digital guitar emulation did not sound good, but like the modeling was not quite there, so you have like those guitars that just sound like they are made of squares.
Yeah.
Like they just sound like the worst crate amp, like just emulated into forever. And it's so Apple Music has allowed me to be a real like weird nerd / asshole. Like I was at a Hot Topic because I still enjoy a Hot Topic because where else am I supposed to get Funko Pops for I don't know, I was trying to think for Who's the Boss. Like just but I'll walk through just because I love to see like what's in, and I love watching the evolution of Hot Topic from like the goth store to the pop punk and emo store to now the internet store.
Yeah.
And
but still black walls everywhere.
Sure. But I mean, they'll be TARDIS blue soon enough because Doctor Who showed up like a tumor in those stores and has just spread like a cancer throughout the store. It's amazing. But one of the things was I was going through their vinyl, and it's a lot of it is like mid-2000s emo and metalcore and screamo bands.
Yeah.
Like leftover vinyl from that time period where they aggressively ordered too much. And I remember like some record cover, I was like, I have to know what this band sounds like because this cover is awful. And it was just like a poorly drawn image of like a sexy hipster girl via MySpace, like on a couch. And I was like, God, I don't know anything about this band. I have to listen to it. And listening to it, I was like, oh, this is the most, like this could just be all of the bands from the 2000s amalgamated into one perfect like encapsulation.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I tried to stay away from those bands. Like I wrestled a bear once and stuff like
that. Yeah.
Like just like this, it's like, oh, we're just being weird. And it's like music trying to be a meme essentially. And I tried to stay away from that stuff, but I had friends who were like, no, these guys are awesome. You got to check it. It's polka and metal.
Well,
and
but it was, that like, was fun. Cause like all those bands were catching the tail end of the collapse of the music industry.
Yeah.
That's a time period that I cannot wait in another 10 years for somebody to do a book on like that desperate death rattle of the music industry where like there were bands that really surfed their way into like finding new stuff. And there were all the bands that were like, it was supposed to be us. We were supposed to make it. And then the bands that were like, well, what do we do now? Like, and they'd see, cause like I kind of got, by dumb luck, wandered into like the world of like Andrew Jackson Jihad and Bomb the Music Industry and a lot of that stuff where it was kind of the new generation of that stuff where it was sort of the kind of genre queer world where you could be whatever you wanted to be and you could be funny but you could also be super dark and you could be acoustic but you could also be techno. Like I feel like that's the Bomb the Music Industry are one of those bands that I feel like are gonna go down as a band that changed a lot of things for punk rock, but also indie rock and DIY and really changed what a band was supposed to look like and sound like.
Yeah.
We're like, oh, we can have synthesizers, but also be a ska band, but also like super earnest lyrics that also say eat a dick in the middle of like one of the lines. And watching these kind of like dumb guys who were supposed to be on Warped Tour on Fearless or Victory Records, like, you know, stages, like now, yeah, have like a marching band behind them. And like they saw Devotchka and bought a tuba and they're like, but they're still in skinny jeans and makeup, go like, is this what you want? Tell me what you want.
So they're Manchester Orchestra.
Yes. And like that's such an interesting thing because it's the Sum 41 philosophy to music. It's like I love what, if you track that man, every one of their records is just what was popular at that moment.
Oh yeah,
their first record is a half rap rock, half pop punk record, and then there is like a weird mid 2000s like metalcore political album for the Bush administration.
Yep.
And then like they just whatever the trend was, they were right there with a crappy album to go along with it to just capture whatever K-Rock's marketing department thought you wanted.
Oh, and I was young enough to fall for
all of it. But that's who that was for. Like you were literally the market. We're like, well, if he doesn't buy it, we're doing it wrong.
Like I remember when All Killer No Filler came out, I was like, oh, this is amazing. And then Does This Look Infected came out, and I was like, these guys are awesome. They're taking pop punk in a harder direction. And then Chuck comes out and everyone's like, that guitar solo at the end, metal, bro.
Because
then,
Dragon Force is very popular as well.
Yeah, and then they just, and then just no one cared.
I was shocked they never did a folk punk record. It seems like, and I guess maybe Mumford & Son and the Lumineers beat them to it, but I feel like Sum 41, that would have, to truly complete like a decade's worth of music trends, that was the one thing that they didn't hit, was they never had like a, well, we're no longer a punk band and now we play acoustic stuff because I'm Chuck Reg and Tim Barry and 13 other guys from punk bands who did the punk rock retirement of becoming a folk singer. And I'm shocked that Sum 41 never did that because it seems like that would have been the perfect cap off to a box set of just grabbing at the trends.
They just came out with a new album too and went back out on tour. I was actually supposed to go see them with my buddies because they played Warped Tour this year and they pretty much played like one new song and then played all songs from their first four albums only.
Yeah.
And it was the greatest. It was the greatest thing. It's like every time I go see Newfound Glory still, it's just like they'll play a couple.
You gotta stop doing that. That's like feeding a stray cat. Like if you stop doing it, they'll stop showing up.
But the stray cat's so nice.
No, it doesn't love you.
I did get a concussion during their set at Warped Tour.
See,
this
they
year.
Don't, they don't love you. They just want you to keep showing up so that they can have jobs. We got to stop that.
But those 10-year tours are so enticing.
Oh God!
I'm trying to think how many 10-year tours I've actually been to
they,
now.
It's fascinating to me, like that all those bands really hit at the same time. Like, wow, has it been 10 years? All right, let's do this.
Yeah, there was within like a span of like 3 years. Newfound Glory, Motion City Soundtrack, Sum 41.
Motion City Soundtrack seems so weird though, because like they just were a band for 10 years.
Yeah,
like, you can't do like the 10-year anniversary. Like you were just a band that whole time.
Well,
it's not like when like Brand New comes back. It's like you guys have been like all of you are clearly just dads now. You all pulled up in Volvos, like, and just got your stuff out of the hatchback Volvo you drive your kids to soccer practice in. Like that to me is different. Like Motion City Soundtrack were just still a very like a vibrant band.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. They were touring specific albums.
Yeah.
It was always like Sum 41 was Does This Look Like Infected? It was Sticks and Stones for Newfound Glory. Census Fail, Let It Enfold You.
Pop punk is always like 5 years behind like cool indie rock, because like I remember when it was all indie rock bands doing those things, and I went to like the Breeders do Last Splash, or like you know, Dinosaur Jr. do Bug, or I saw Mission of Burma play Versus in its entirety, and then all of a sudden like 5 years later they're like, we're playing all Killer No Filler tonight, everybody.
Yeah, pretty much. But at the same time, you gotta think that stuff's probably started 5 years later than them.
Sure.
So it was just the evolution. And so it's like, I mean, how many times have you heard, like, you know, Tom Petty doing an album in its entirety for its 30th anniversary?
And I do love that kind of show. Like, those are, I just went and saw Trail of Dead do Source Tags and Codes.
Okay.
And it's not, are you a fan?
I don't listen to much indie stuff.
Well, they were always the band that sort of like rode the line, because they're definitely like a post-hardcore band, but with kind of an indie leaning. You probably like them.
I probably would.
They're,
if they'd go on tour with Thrice, I'd like
them. In the vein of like the kind of things like that did suck me in, because I was like Hot Water Music's, again, probably 7 on that list of favorite bands. And so like the kind of post-hardcore-y bands, but I definitely went either like much early, like the kind of 90s run of stuff, like Fugazi's in my top 10, At the Drive-In's up there. So that kind of stuff. And then I discovered kind of the San Diego kind of stuff.
Okay.
I think I went more San Diego than like the Pacific Northwest, NorCal, Midwest kind of stuff. I definitely went more like Rocket from the Crypt, Hot Snakes kind of stuff, or went the direction of like bands that were, I'll describe as like Converge adjacent.
Got it. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's just something I grew up with personally.
Oh, yeah.
So I've just been
fascinated by it, because we were all standing in hoodies in like the same 10 teen centers over the last decade and a half. So I'm always fascinated. Yeah. I'm like, oh, you guys were there on Wednesday when we were there on Friday.
Yeah.
Like,
exactly. That's kind of what's been happening with all these Kanye West tours recently, like all these dates. I was actually supposed to go see him last night and he ended up canceling the whole rest of the tour.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I'm really bummed, but like pretty much all my friends who listened to him had seen him earlier. So I was supposed to go to this show, and then all my friends have now seen it, and I'm the one who's missed out. And I feel real bummed. But yeah, I think just try to wrap it all up, I guess.
I feel like we're just getting started.
I know, right? If I didn't have to go to work.
Oh, yes, job.
Yeah, I have to be in Hollywood at 3, so.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, as we've been kind of going along, I'm just trying to put...
I know I put us on all of the sidebars possible, but I think...
It's okay. I feel like I was on an episode of This Is Rad.
Nah, you're only stopping in an hour. This would go on for another 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
But
when I have more time.
the thing for me with it is that, you know, as we're getting to it, it's that culture of superlatives, to me, feels anti-art. Because it's the same thing as like having to rank things and put things into lists, where it's like, well, this is the best thing.
The BuzzFeed culture.
That superlative culture is such a bummer to me, because it's so antithetical to like what art is supposed to be. Because what you're supposed to do is not go like, this was the best thing I've seen. You're supposed to sit and think about like, how did this affect me as a person? Or like, what did I get out of this? And even if it's something that's like silly and no filler kind of stuff, like a Stranger Things, like you can still get stuff out of Stranger Things,
yeah,
even if it's like, you know, kind of like you can still enjoy candy. Like, you don't have to eat nothing but kale salad at all times. Like, you can still have a grand old time with you know, that kind of stuff. But I think it's that the danger of going like there's an extremism to it that I think is a problematic thing that I hope I have faith because I am a optimist at the end of the day, despite me being the I imagine the most curmudgeonly asshole you've had on this show.
No, you have not met my friend David. Go back and listen to the first episode and the one where we talk about Don't Breathe.
Oh, there we go. Oh, did you guys not like Don't Breathe? Because I will fight you in the street.
No, I loved it. He did not like the big twist. So okay. Like there was the first twist and then there was the second twist with the pregnancy and stuff.
Huh.
Yeah, he thought that overkilled it.
Interesting.
Yeah. I personally loved it.
I guess I just never think about like that movie. I don't think of that movie as like, oh, what a twist it had. Because I saw the trailer and knew everything that movie was going to do. And but I think Fede Alvarez is one of the more interesting. I love the voice that he's brought in two movies. He has like created a language that is so distinctly his own, which I think is so cool because there's such a uniformity to visual aesthetic in movies at this point, you know, and the fact that he is kind of in both of his movies, you could hold a single frame of it. And I know because I mean, I also adored the Evil Dead remake. Like
I've not seen it.
Oh, I love it.
For me, when it comes to horror films, like I love horror films, but like stuff getting done to bodies for me,
yeah,
is like
do it too. Yeah,
I hate it.
I've yet to find my thing where I'm just like, well, I've yet to watch something where because of like something happening to someone, I'm like, well, I'm sure sad I watched that. Like,
yeah,
I'm talking to stuff like the Evil Dead remake, the end of it. Spoilers, it rains blood. Like and other stuff happens, but I remember sitting in the theater going like, oh, it's like somebody got my letters that every movie should end with a fight. Well, it's raining blood outside. You know what would have made the Avengers better? Blood rain. You know what would have made Kramer versus Kramer better? Blood rain. Like no movie has just ever been courtroom. Made worse by blood rain. And so
except for maybe the movie Blood Rain.
Yeah. Which didn't have blood rain at the end.
Did not live up to its title.
The one thing they should have done and they failed to do. But at the same time, but I definitely watched a movie and I didn't think like, oh, this is gonna have a twist. Like I watched it and was like, oh, like this is crazy. Like this has got really interesting parts to it.
Yeah, I only saw one trailer for it, so I didn't know pretty much anything.
Have
going
you
in.
Or your friend? Because this is the I'm just a manic street preacher for this fucking movie this year. Have you or your friend watched Green Room?
Oh yeah. Like, we went to go see it together.
Oh, it's the best.
The best.
Oh,
the
it's
best.
My movie of the year by such oh, a... Like,
hands
I
down.
Feel like it's going to be my movie of the year for next year. Like, I just keep walking by like, well, it's not Green Room.
Yeah. Like, no, that was one of the first times that was one of the first movies in a long time where everyone just agreed, amazing.
Yeah.
And, like, see, that's the thing. When
so
things
many people
come out...
didn't see it. Like you know, and I just feel like that's one of those ones that I just... Especially now that it's on, like, Amazon Prime and people can watch it.
Oh, it is?
Oh, it's, oh, I'm gonna it's go watch the jam. I just finally bought the Blu-ray today. I was, like, looking at it and I was like, I just want to hear, like, the commentary. And I'm just going to break and this is just going to happen.
Nice. Yeah, I mean, that like when stuff like that comes out, it's like, yeah, it deserves
I
want
to point out, in your wrapping up, I was successfully able to put another random sidebar.
It's all good.
But yes, so at the end of the day, the superlative culture is not the best way to judge things. But what I was getting at is I think that over time, culture shifts and like the zeitgeist shifts. And I think there will be a generation that is... doesn't want that and is, you know, things go in cycles. And I think like this culture of like everything's the best or the worst. I feel like there's probably kids who are like 5 right now who by the time they're 22 will be like, how about things we just have a level-headed conversation about things where we don't have to give it a score and a ranking.
If that's true, then my nieces and nephews have a good future.
There's hip 5-year-olds right now who'll like read about like Pauline Kael and Lester Bangs and just be like, oh, I can have opinions on things without having to like, you know, vote in a contest and turn it into American Idol.
Yeah, that was there's one episode in the new season. I think was it the new season of
it's
Black Mirror?
Season
is it
the
first
American
season?
Idol thing. Yeah, that's if you want my bleak opinion of the entertainment industry, it's just that episode of Black Mirror.
Yeah, that's a very good episode.
Working towards nothingness, and ultimately, I've talked to people, I've gotten in real heavy debates about that one because that's the one many people I've talked to say is too bleak. And I'm just like, no, you guys don't understand. They got it. They got it right. They did. They nailed it. Like that's the way that ends is the way the world works, and that's why things are bad.
It was pretty much futuristic network.
Yeah, it's shocking. If you get a chance, have you seen Dead Set? That's on Netflix now too.
No, I haven't.
The guy who made Black Mirror, his zombie movie.
Okay,
it's like three. It's a mini series, and it's what happens if a zombie breakout happens and you are trapped on the set of Big Brother with reality.
Oh, I've heard about that. It's on Netflix now.
Yeah, it's
okay.
It is great.
All right, I'll probably watch that tonight.
See, I love that I can shit on things and then go like, here's five things you should check out though. Like,
yeah, but I mean that's what you should do.
Enthusiasm's great. Like, yeah, I love telling people stuff I like and having people tell me stuff they like, because like whether I like it or not, or whether they like it or not, like we've exchanged a thing and now we're just like, oh, now we can have a conversation. It's like turning life into a book club.
Yeah, no, and that's what's great. I mean, I think that's kind of why we don't like the superlative culture, because everything's like, oh, this is amazing. I just want this all the time. Everything has to be this. Like with Doctor Who, everyone I know who watches Doctor Who, it's the most amazing show all the time, and everything's Doctor Who. It's like, well, what about some of this stuff that's kind of, no, it's not Doctor Who. So everything just has to be that.
Yeah.
And it's because, like, for some reason, we have this idea, we just have to dedicate ourselves to one thing.
Yeah.
And it's like,
contain multitudes, bro. Walt Whitman it up.
Yeah. It's like, there's so much more out there that just, you know what? Things can be fine.
Yeah.
Like we were talking about music. You know, I think that was actually perfect for this, because it's like,
since we are for sure not on the same page, but like, I still can respect your opinion and take an interest in the things that like you're into.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and like, it's not, I don't look at him and go like, this fuck, he doesn't know what he's talking about. This is over. Like, it's like, the world's a way more interesting place when people are into different things.
Now put these chains on so I can make you listen to all my records.
That was, I went on tour with Keith Carey earlier this year, and he's a big pop punk guy.
Oh yeah.
And so we've had, it turns out if you're trapped in a car for 8 hours, like you can really have a lot. But I like handed him like the Ox Jack. I'm like, all right. I was like, all right, explain to me why Brand New were a good band.
Oh, I can do that. I can definitely do
it
that.
It turns out every person who likes Brand New is very prepared to take that.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are.
I like those people because they're scrappy.
There's a reason I went to their Discog shows. I was even willing to sit through the bad stuff. but yeah, thank you so much for coming on, man. It was a really great pleasure to have you and finally to meet you.
If you enjoyed this, I have a podcast called This Is Rad.
Please listen to it. It's great.
We'll have to have you on sometime.
Yeah, definitely.
And then beyond that, I have an album called I'm a Person, Kyle Clark, I'm a Person, that is out literally anywhere where you can stream music, or you can buy a CD copy of it at stoymerchandise.com.
And I have listened to it, and I'll give it the podcast seal of approval. Ooh. For here.
Oh, good. Wow, he has real stickers he's handed.
Yep,
these are, I've got to individually put these on each CD now.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's why I printed them out before.
It's crazy how much of your house is just steel of approval. You have a very forgiving wife to just allow you to burn your entire fortune on approval stickers.
Well, I have to make sure to give her one.
It's weird. When I met her, she was wearing one.
Yeah, I just put it right on the forehead.
You're just drunk with power of your just my opinion approval.
Hey, but my power is just my opinion.
Oh, the stickers all disappear. They melt away.
All right, well, thanks for listening, everyone. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Hope you guys enjoyed that. It was really great, again, to have Kyle on there. Really appreciated him making the time to come out and do that with me. So definitely make sure to check out his new album he put out, I'm a Person. It's on Spotify, iTunes, Amazon, whatever you can stream music on. You should be able to find it for free, or you can buy it from him on his Stoy merchandise, as he mentioned. Also, definitely, if you liked the way he, you know, chatted on here, but you want to hear more than just him, check out his podcast, This Is Rad. It's really good. He's turned me on to other podcasts through his recommendations on there, and it's just a really good, it's a good show. And you can follow them on Twitter at This Is Rad Pod, and follow him personally at Kyle Clark Is Rad. Want to make sure to help get his plugs in there, since I know we didn't get all of them in. But now it's time to plug myself. So you can follow the podcast on Twitter at BTJMOPod. Follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/BTJMOPod. And if you want to write in, but that's just my opinion pod at gmail.com. Love to hear from you guys. So, as I mentioned in there, this was recorded a couple weeks ago, the interview was, so I didn't
I'd mentioned not being able to go to see that Kanye West concert. Kind of disappointed, but he did end up getting checked in to the hospital after I had recorded that. So, you know, just hope everything's fine. Would like to see him again back on tour so that way I can finally see him for the first time. But because of that, I am going to play one of my favorite Kanye tracks this week. It's called Touch the Sky off Late Registration, his second album. One of my personal favorites. And he was going to play it at the show, so I was really bummed I didn't get to see it. But it's a great song. It's a fun, upbeat song. And I hope you guys enjoy it. Hope you guys have a great weekend. We'll see you next week. And remember, like it or don't, that's just my opinion.
I gotta testify. Come up in the spot looking extra fly. For the day I die, I'ma touch the sky. Gotta testify. Come up in the spot looking extra fly. For the day I die, I'ma touch the sky. Back when they thought pink polos would hurt the rock. Before Cam got the shit to pop, the doors are closed. I felt like Bad Boy Street Team. I couldn't work the locks. Now let's go. Take them back to the plan. Me and my mama hopped in that U-Haul van. Any pessimists, I ain't talk to them. Plus, I ain't had no phone in my apartment. Let's take them back to the club. At least about an hour I stand online. I just wanted to dance. I went to Jacob an hour after I got my advance. I just wanted to shine. Jake's favorite line, dog, in due time. Now they look at me like, damn, dog, you what I am. A hip-hop legend, I think I died in an accident. Cause this must be heaven. I gotta testify. Come up in the spot looking extra fly. For the day I die, I'ma touch the sky. Gotta testify. Come up in the spot looking extra fly. Yeah. For the day I die, I'ma touch the sky. Now let's take them high. Shit to rock. Back when Slick Rick got the shit to pop. I'd do anything to say I got it. Damn, them new loafers hurt my pocket. Before anybody wanted K-West beats, me and my girls split the buffet at KFC. Dog, I was having nervous breakdowns. Like, man, these niggas that much better than me. Baby, I'm going on an airplane, and I don't know if I'll be back again. Sure enough, I sent the plane tickets, but when she came to kick it, things became different. Any girl I cheated on, she skeeted on. Couldn't keep it at home, thought I needed a knee alone. I'm trying to right my wrongs, but it's funny them same wrongs help me write the song. Now, I gotta testify. Come up in the spot looking extra fly. For the day you die, you gon' touch the sky, you gon' touch the sky, baby girl. Testify, come up in the spot looking extra fly. For the day you die, you gon' touch the sky. Yes, 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 guess who's on third? Lupe still like looping the third. Here like here till I'm bitter on the curb. Peach buzz buzz but bitter on the verge. Let's slow it down like river on the serve. Bottle shaped body like Mrs. Butterworth. But before you say another word, I'm back on the block like I'm laying on the street. I'm trying to stop lying like a mum rob, but I'm not lying when I'm laying on the beat. On guard, a touche, Lupe, cool as the unthaw. But I still feel possessed as a gunshot. To come as correct as a porn star. And a fresh pair of steps and my best phone call. So, I represent the first. Now let me end my verse right where the horns are. Like, I gotta testify. Come up in the spot looking extra fly. For the day you die, you gon' touch the sky. You gon' touch the sky, baby girl. Testify. Come up in the spot looking extra fly. For the day you die, you gon' touch the sky.
We back at home, baby.
Sky high, yeah. I'm sky high.